Working across teams is tough, but Asana helps you handle it. That's because Asana is where humans and AI coordinate work together. AI can spot roadblocks and assign work in a snap, so everything and everyone stays on track. That's how work gets handled. That's Asana. Visit us at asana.com. That's ASANA.com.
Welcome to Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you for joining me on the program. Thank you for listening wherever you find the program, this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, and of course, CannabisRadio.com. And we are coming up towards 420, and if you are looking to go and interject your coverage onto this program, it's time more than anything not to wait until the start of the month. Go ahead and reach out to me, Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. If you want to go and join me on the program to promote what is going on with all of you in regards to your 420 marketing efforts, opportunities, and deals that people should go ahead and know about there, I want to go ahead and give a platform to all of you here, of course. And just reach out to me if you are looking to go and be a part as part of our showcases portion of the program, which we want to go and do on a regular basis, and put them out as we get them done, alongside the 30-minute format of this program that you are so accustomed to. So a couple of stories to get into the program today that are catching headlines. First, from Cannabis Business Times, state-sanctioned U.S. cannabis businesses could soon list on the major stock exchanges in the USA because a new bipartisan bill has been proposed, the Capital Lending and Investment for Marijuana Businesses Act, the CLIMB Act. And the sponsors of the bill are Representatives Troy Carter of Louisiana, Democrat, Guy Reschenthaler, Republican for Pennsylvania. They're offering this bill, which will provide a safe harbor to private financial institutions wishing to offer lending services to state-sanctioned cannabis businesses. So the chance of benefits of listing on major U.S. securities exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange, and NASDAQ. Now, we know there are some stocks are already out there that are being registered and listed, but it's the way they are positioned and how they're going to be able to be listed and be publicly traded. So offering that possibility. Now, Representative Carter spoke with the Times and said that this is to bring equity and equal opportunity into our nation's growing cannabis industry by working with small, minority, and veteran-owned cannabis businesses. It's clear that access to capital remains one of the biggest barriers to entry to success in the industry as well. So they want to bring symmetry into the business ecosystem, help communities harmed by the criminalization of cannabis becoming leaders in business because it's part of the American dream. And there will be protections offered by government agencies, the Community Development Financial Institutions, the Small Business Administration, Minority Business Development Administration, and using grants and other funding resources to assist cannabis businesses. So another possibility, but again, these are just like the States Act or just like any other legislation, the Safe Banking Act. All these things are wonderful and they would be beneficial. But at the moment, we're still waiting on what could happen with deregulation, with the reclassification of cannabis, which we haven't seen anything else new come into the purview right now in a while. Like, we know that the executive order has been put into place to move forward the process by the FDA, but we have nothing that's been said about that or from the DOJ, any other governing bodies for that matter. And we're waiting on it, and hopefully we'll find some more that comes from this soon. So the U.S. Cannabis Roundtable's CEO, Safir Galoob, says that the CLIMB Act will help unleash the full potential of the cannabis industry in America. Canadian companies can ring the bell at U.S. stock markets and access American capital markets, while domestic cannabis businesses are largely locked out of most basic financial services. So this distinction of allowing these companies to be publicly traded, it is a function, a leverage that can be pulled to bring revenue into these companies that would be helpful, but still would lack the financial assistance they need waiting for reclassification so that taxes could be written off. going for right now for tax season, and to help businesses recoup 10 to 15% of their revenue to put it back into reinvestment, which I always say, put it towards compliance, put it back towards your team. And then in this legislation, ancillary service providers could offer state-sanctioned cannabis companies with business assistance without fear of federal retribution. So they are trying to open some doors. Here are some of the companies that would be able to go ahead and work in this cannabis industry to get some of these services. Providing a financial product or service, selling insurance or surety products, providing debt or equity capital, or receiving dividends, providing accounting services, sale, lease, or rental of real estate, providing equipment, parts, substances, or testing services needed to produce cannabis in compliance with laws and regulations in that state, advertising and marketing, management consulting, legal services, compliance services, not just from a cannabis-based wing of a law firm, any law firm, for that matter, providing information technology, software, communication services, provision of packaging. So again, opening the door for more companies to work with cannabis instead of having cannabis-centric companies trying to satisfy and service the public, which also keeps them at a particular threshold where they can't expand themselves because it's like you want to go ahead and put yourself in and have to go ahead and try to narrow into the industry to help placate the industry. But at the same time, if they want to go and grow into other sectors, they can't. It's that constant dynamic there. There's also provision of packaging. Dealing with logistics services, transportation, underwriting, placement or public distribution of securities issued by a cannabis-related legitimate business. All this here. So we're waiting for more federal policy to help with the realities of today's cannabis industry, according to Curaleaf Chairman and CEO Boris Jordan. He released a statement that says that, you know, this is wonderful. U.S. operators for too long have been constrained by outdated regulations, limiting access to capital, preventing participation in major exchanges. But how far can this go? The question is, we know that we're waiting for what the executive order is going to give. But it's been 3 months right now since the DOJ was ordered by President Trump to expedite completion of the Schedule 3 final rule. We don't have anything yet. And I mean, it's been pretty much a ghost town when it comes to where they are right now. It was December 18, 2025. And at the moment, we are still waiting. If you try to look for anything about Schedule 3 right now for cannabis, we have not seen anything in. But the latest news we do have is from the New York Post that has reported on it, at the least. So Charles Gasparino wrote the story saying that a person with firsthand knowledge of the DOJ's handling says there's no deadline for Pam Bondi's action, the attorney general. The process is complicated. Attorneys are on the case, methodically working on the matter. Could relatively happen soon, according to a well-placed source. Spoke under condition of anonymity, and it is being discussed internally. Because at the moment, as we were just talking about, would the CLIMB Act would give some more room financially, investment-wise, business-wise, for companies, there is the fact of the matter is that your main institutions, like your banking institutions, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citibank, won't lend money to cannabis farms, the dispensaries for gummies, or manufacturers of THC-infused balms, even with the Trump executive order because of its narrow wording. Same thing for most major credit card companies that won't accept transactions, including cannabis. U.S. stock exchanges not taking listings right now if they in any way touched a plant. So they will have to list in Canada and the Toronto Stock Exchange, things like that. And one of the other things they're talking about was that the Schedule 3 classification is focused more on medical marijuana as opposed to adult use cannabis smoking. But that's the part where whatever happens with adult use is going to be, with reclassification, should just open the doors for more states to allow. And who knows, if decriminalization also comes along with that somewhere down the line. We're going to step away for a short break, but when we come back, Ohio looking to go ahead and make a shift in their adult cannabis rules, stricter limits, and penalties. We'll talk about that after a short break. Welcome back to Build Business on CannabisRadio.com. Ohio voters voted for cannabis to become adult use last year. But there are some updates right now in Ohio and it's going to be really some big changes. So the implementation of Ohio adult use cannabis was in 2023, but we're finally getting the implementation right now of the process. There's a new law that came in, Senate Bill 56, now officially in effect. New restrictions are being added and penalties around cannabis use, possession, and sales across the state. So the biggest change they have in here is that where you can use cannabis. Public use is no longer allowed, including edibles, which was permitted in public spaces. There's more rules now for transporting cannabis in Ohio. If you're driving, it now has to be stored in the trunk. Having it elsewhere in the car can lead to a misdemeanor. Tightening restrictions right now on the law, home growing. It's still legal to grow cannabis, but growing over the limit of 6 plants per person or 12 per household could now lead to more serious charges. And also, they're doing their own ban on intoxicating hemp products. No surprise, state by state, it keeps happening. So now, these products, which could produce a similar effect to cannabis, will now be sold only at licensed dispensaries instead of having it at all shops in Ohio. So you're still able to get access to it, but they are tightening up the access publicly where you can go and consume it. And part of the tightening up of home grows and the same thing going with where you could buy. They're just trying to go and really put that into place. Their supporters of the law, they say the changes need added safeguards regarding access and safety. Critics are arguing the new rules go against what voters originally approved of, could hurt businesses and consumers. We'll love to learn more about what the folks in Ohio are saying about it, but this story's come out into place, and it's here. What else can you do about it? Now, also to make clear, here is of the noticeable changes, smoking, vaping, and consuming cannabis in public places is now prohibited, resulting in a misdemeanor. This is a story from WKYC. The other story was from Columbus Navigator, but this TV station NBC in Ohio makes the point that smoking, vaping, and consuming cannabis now is prohibited and consultant resident misdemeanor. Can't do it in public. Very surprised to go and see that. One of the story I want to bring up before we can wrap things up is another study coming out, Vice actually putting out the story, that says that cannabis compounds do something surprising to your liver, according to a new study. The question being posed is whether cannabis compounds could help with fatty liver disease, which affects a huge number of adults and still has very few drug treatments. So there's a new study from the researchers of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem saying the answer could be yes. They've learned this from using mice. They found that two non-psychoactive cannabis compounds, CBD and CBG, those two phytocannabinoids, improved blood sugar control, reduced liver fat, and lowered harmful blood lipids in obese mice with metabolic dysfunction associated with steatotic liver disease, or MASLD, excuse me. This was published in the British Journal of Pharmacology. So yeah, CBD and CBG could improve blood sugar control, reducing liver fat, and lowering harmful blood lipids. And they're doing it again. This was in mice in this research. MASLD is the form of fatty liver disease linked to metabolism rather than alcohol. Most common chronic liver disorder worldwide. And affects 1/3 of the adult population, which is shockingly high considering how little is talked about, according to the Hebrew University. So instead of mainly acting through the cannabinoid receptors, people usually associate with cannabis, CBD and CBG appeared to help the liver build up phosphocreatine, working like a backup energy reserve. Also restoring lysosomal function, helping liver cells clear out harmful fats and waste more effectively. After 4 weeks, the mice improved their liver function despite being on a high-fat diet. CBG also giving some great points that both compounds improved glucose handling. CBG had a more pronounced effect on body fat, insulin sensitivity, total cholesterol, and LDL cholesterol. And let me tell you, somebody has gone through issues where I've been diabetic and I've pulled myself out of there. We have a lot of people with heart disease, liver disease, and a lot of different heart issues. And of course, we get a lot of obesity here. 70% of Americans are obese right now. So think about the fact that besides the GLP-1s, if cannabis and these particular phytocannabinoids, if you're talking about CBD and CBG, and be able to go and use these into products, into treatments, to work on creating a backup energy reserve, helping liver cells clear out harmful fats and waste, and then also having effects on body fat, insulin sensitivity, like insulin resistance. It's such a big problem. I have that problem now after being diabetic. Total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol. Let me tell you. And it doesn't matter what age or health condition you are. Some everyday people, they do have a little bit of high cholesterol. And then there's total cholesterol that count. You're getting towards 200, you know, or higher. That's something significant. But then that LDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, that people have it so low. But it can have that effect there to let your blood stream much better. And just to know that you can have something that will go ahead and work against to help you improve your metabolic function. That would be a wonderful thing if we could see more of that. And of course, those were high fat diets that the mice were given. Now, the compounds were given through daily abdominal injection. So like a GLP-1 on mice. There we go. Not tinctures or capsules that people grab off the shelf. So there's no approved pharmacological treatments for MASLD, noted by the researchers, and the early result deserves real attention. So thanks to Vice.com for actually putting that story out there. There have been some research previously about this on rodents that creatine supplementation shows the ability to resolve MASLD, but it had the opposite outcome for fatty liver disease triggered by alcohol use. But they learned it wasn't so much alcohol as it is for the metabolism. That makes a big difference. They're also talking about that whether these results would hold up in humans remains to be seen, that CBD products on the market today are not very closely regulated, and some may not be sold in their purest form. What's more, these products are often oral droplets, and unclear whether the medicine would have the same impact if swallowed as opposed to injected straight into the abdomen. And also, further research can reveal how CBD and CBG have impacts on liver function. A novel drug could be created to mimic their effects in a way that is easily delivered and safe for use. And the authors also concluded that this therapeutic gap underscores the urgent need for novel pharmacological agents that can target the underlying mechanisms of disease progression. As we continue to say, there are benefits to cannabis if we had more research, if there was more research allowed. So we will continue to hope and follow along to see if anything changes here on the program, and that's how we'll go and take it from there. So that is Blunt Business for this week. Thank you for listening to the program, finding the show. Once again, CannabisReader.com. Find the show wherever you have it. Subscribe, and we will talk to you next time.